There you go. Good morning. How you doing? It's Monday morning. It's the 8th of July 2019. It's very bright. It's lovely. It's a glorious Monday morning here in Salford in Greater Manchester. Do a quick roll call in a second. Hope you've had a nice weekend. Hope you had a nice day yesterday. Lovely day. Sweltering day it was yesterday afternoon. Going to have a look at the front pages of the newspapers and one or two of the stories inside as usual. And some of the other news websites like RT and like bbc.co.uk as well. And we'll do a quick roll call there while we're here. There's a bit of noise going on in the background there. You should be able to pick up some of it. I'm late this morning because I had a few things to do. I had to take a trip to the tip. I had to go to the dump. There's no glamour in this business. There's no glamour in this radio business, this radio presenting business. None. So I drove to the tip this morning. Didn't check what time it opened at, so I was stuck there for 20 minutes like an idiot sitting outside it with a car full of rubbish. But anyway, so I dumped that, came back, and my joiner is here now, and we had to move a lot of stuff off the concrete floors for the new flooring to go down. So you can hear him banging away downstairs. So I was doing a lot of the heavy lifting with him this morning. Look at that. Marvellous. There are 5-year-old girls stronger than me, believe you me. Good morning, Chris Brown. So a lot of banging. It's not going to interfere with the radio programme, though, this week. How are you, Mark Perry? Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, he was arrested at Teterboro Airport, flying back from France in his private plane on Saturday. On Saturday. This is friend of the rich and powerful, Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire hedge fund manager, the convicted paedophile. Good friends with the Donald, good friends with the Clintons, very good friends with Richard Branson, very good friends with Prince Andrew. Hi to Christopher Hickman. How you doing, Christopher? Christopher's cheesed off this morning that a million people go on the streets to support the LGBT community. This must be at Pride. Was there so many people out to watch the Pride parade? Is that right? Yet you can't get folks out to support the Palestinians. No issue with gay pride, but what does it tell us about our societal values? Christopher, I'm with you, my friend. But the reason the vast majority of people in the United Kingdom and in Ireland and in the Outer Hebrides and in Azerbaijan, well, maybe not in Azerbaijan, the reason they don't know about the plight of the Palestinians is because it never makes the news. There is never any coverage of what goes on in Gaza on a daily basis. And we know what goes on in Gaza on a daily basis. People being shot in the face by IDF marksmen and women, people being shot in the face who are coming to help people who were shot in the face. It's horrific. But people don't know about it. But they do know about how important it is to be seen, to be supporting our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. They know this because it is on the news and in the papers every day of the week. And if you are not constantly reaffirming your support for our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, and our gay and lesbian and transgender and non-binary unicorn brothers and sisters, if you're not doing that, well, you're somebody to be watched. So it's in people's faces. They are being brainwashed. They don't know about Gaza, Christopher, and you know that, my friend. But listen, I'm your brother in angst this morning. Pisses me off as well. Good morning to Jason Williamson in New Zealand. It's evening there, isn't it, Jason? Hi to pro-rebel separatist. Fun fact of the day: Prince Charles was circumcised by Rabbi Jacob Snowman. Was he? Lovely. I'll put you off your cornflakes right there. There will be people watching this and they will be tucking into their breakfast. Picture it. Picture it. Prince Charles's tallywhacker being circumcised. Oh. Yeah. Hi to Samantha Jordan, hey to Samantha, to Ellie Larkin, to Dick Scratcher. Morning, Richard. To 2-6, to Dean Thornby, who's got to go and feed the goats. If you got goats, Dean, you'll never be lonely. Many's a shepherd told me that. Why don't you try a bit of shepherding, Richie? You'll never be lonely. Don't let me be lonely tonight. How does the shepherd choose which goat to have relations with? How does that work? Wow. It gets worse, this. Every day, I told you. You keep coming back every morning. It gets worse. It is crap. It wasn't bad enough. It was crap. It's now smutty crap. Hi to John and Sarah Stott. Afternoon, they say. Still morning here, but afternoon. Anonymous in Western Massachusetts. Good morning. Good morning to Captain Nemo. It's the Captain Nemo, by the way. Mercy and Golden Age. Good morning. Hi to Super Linz from Yorkshire. How you doing, Super Linz? Wendy Savage. How you doing, Wendy? Ian Hilpus, Patrick Vidine, Sean Reynolds, Aaron Donnelly. Sitting outside the dump, waiting to get in with a carload of cardboard. That was me this morning, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Do you know what the worst part of sitting outside the dump with a carload of cardboard was? Listening to Zoe Effing Ball on Radio 2 Breakfast. It's crap. That's some morning they've got now on BBC Radio 2. You've got Vanessa Feltz to take you to 6:30. From 4 o'clock to 6:30 or something, is it? Vanessa Feltz. And then you've got Zoe Ball. Are you a misogynist? Yes, women don't belong on the radio. I like women on the radio. Hi to Trevor Reed. How you doing, Trevor? Good morning from South Africa. Guy Master Flex, The Moog, Sean Mack, Andrew Taylor, Wide Awake Radio. Good morning, my friend. Good morning, Gail. Good morning, Danny Warden. Gay Pride is almost as annoying as Holocaust Remembrance every effing year, says Danny. Thanks, Danny. Gail says, Richie, I feel sick now. Of course you feel sick. You've just pictured Prince Charles's tallywhacker, the foreskin being peeled back by a rabbi. It doesn't get any worse than that, really. Even Jigsaw. Never saw that in Saw. Hi to Sooty's Rehab, who said, so Charles's first experience with oral sex was from a man? No chance of monetizing this video now, eh? Eh? Hi to Andrew Lawther from the Falls Road in Belfast. Morning, mate. Morning, Mayday. Warning. Morning, even. Warning. Morning, William Smith. No one slur. Yarlins, eh? Charlotte Bins. Charlotte says you want to get Absolute Radio on in the morning, Rich. I listen to talk radio, you see. There you go. All right. How many minutes did we waste with that? 9 minutes. Still eating my breakfast. Do you want to look at the papers? Do you want to look at the papers I asked you? Do you hear me? Okay. I asked you a question. Right, the papers. That's Mike banging away downstairs there. Yeah. Marvellous. Did you watch the World Cup final yesterday between USA and Holland? You didn't? Why didn't you, you misogynistic bastard? Bunch of lezzers. There's two or three, isn't there? Well-known lesbians on the American team, including Megan Rapinoe, who doesn't want to sing the national anthem. Apparently her girlfriend is a WNBA basketball star, and she's had a running battle with the Donald on Twitter. Metro, hunt for mole at the Foreign Office. This is in all the papers. The UK ambassador to the United States, as was revealed yesterday, has been less than complimentary about Donald Trump in a series of leaked cables. Cabled. It's only upper class toffee nosed morons that call them cables. Emails, the rest of us say, are documents. Cables, yes, cables. And we found the cables, and well, he was less than complimentary to the Donald. More on that in a minute. It's in all the papers today. Also on the Metro, Dunce Island Are you watching Love Island? Are you? You are. You're a liar. You are watching it. You know you are. Especially if you're a middle-aged, baldy gammon like me. It's about all you get these days. Bit of flesh on Love Island. I genuinely don't watch it. But it's been in the papers the last couple of days because apparently one or two of the ladies on Love Island, well, apparently they're not the brightest sparks in the world and they're not the sharpest tools in the box. Their geographical knowledge is, well, it's not up to scratch, really. Apparently they don't know, some of them, that Edinburgh is in Scotland or that Dublin is in Ireland. One of them, called Joanna, asked, is Italy in Rome or is Rome in Italy? Where was this woman when I was 18, 19 and much better looking than I am now? You'd have imagined. No, don't go there, Richie. Where's Italy? Is Italy in Rome or is Rome in Italy? And one of them asked, is Barcelona in Rome? And then Jordan said that Barcelona is in fact in Italy. All right. Yeah. I wait for the future. I don't really. It's not a measure of intelligence, really. It's just general knowledge and intelligence are two different things, right? But they should know basic things like that. It got me thinking about this. Do you remember Family Fortunes? Do you remember Family Fortunes with Les Dennis? God love Les Dennis, eh? I'm old enough to remember when Max Bygraves hosted it. Yeah. 44 years old. I remember Max Bygraves. Do you remember Max Bygraves? Max Bygraves. I think if you are on the UK's motorways and you pop into a motorway service, if you pop into one of the services on the motorway, you'll still find Max Bygraves tapes in bins near the checkouts. Max Bygraves. He was an old crooner. Well, anyway, Les Dennis presented Family Fortunes for years. And there were some beautiful answers given on Family Fortunes, weren't there, by some of the contestants. Family Fortunes saw two families competing against one another. Usually a family of four on one side, family of four over there. And they would be asked questions based on popular surveys. Some wonderful answers. Real genuine answers. I can't show you the video here now, but genuine answers. They were once asked, name a bird with a long neck. And the person who buzzed in said, Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell. That's what I would have said. Name a dangerous race. They were once asked. You think the Grand National. You think the Paris-Dakar Rally. Name a dangerous race. Somebody buzzed in and said, the Arabs. The Arabs are dangerous. Name a dangerous race. The Arabs. It's not up there. It's not up there. Song with moon in the title, somebody was once asked. Blue suede moon. What's the answer? Blue suede moon. Shall we leave the Family Fortunes answers there? That was the Metro, wasn't it? We just looked at the Metro. What are we doing now? We do the Telegraph. Get rid of Les there. He's a good sport, Les Dennis. We like Les. From Liverpool, isn't he? We'll forgive him that. The Telegraph. Trump aides called for Darroch to be sacked. This is the ambassador. Darroch. And what a picture that is of Boris Johnson. The Prime Minister-elect himself. Odds-on favourite to win the Conservative leadership race and become our next Prime Minister. May God have mercy on us all. Boris Johnson. It's a Telegraph. Quite a few things on the front page of the Telegraph which are interesting as well. Johnson on apprenticeship. An apprenticeship is as valuable as a degree. That's his own column in there. NHS waiting list soar by 50%. And Alexa is used for domestic abuse, according to the Telegraph today. I might try and find that story. I didn't see that this morning. So, yeah, yeah, the UK ambassador to the US not being very nice to the Donald. Financial Times, Deutsche Bank story there. Failure, equities trading. Thousands of jobs are going to be lost, of course. This is in the Financial Times. Let's get rid of that. What's in the Times of London? Johnson faces Tory plot to prevent no Brexit deal. That's a running story that alleges that Conservative Party members of Parliament, MPs, are gathering as they feel that Johnson is guaranteed to win the leadership race and will be Prime Minister. And they are allegedly worried that he will try and take the UK out of the European Union with no deal on October 31st. Now, this isn't true. Johnson is not going to take us out full stop. It's not going to happen. I've explained this a million times why it won't happen. Also on the front page there is Megan Rapinoe, the captain of the US women's team. Very good footballer, it must be said, with her strikingly purple hairstyle. Megan, who doesn't sing the anthem. All national anthems are ridiculous, really. There is none more ridiculous than the English national anthem. It is the most ridiculous, pathetic, mindless, moronic national anthem of them all. God save our gracious Queen. God save our noble Queen. God save the Queen. Send her victorious, onward and glorious, long to reign over us, or whatever the fuck. God save the Queen. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Isn't it? Postmen feel pain of online deliveries as dog bites rise. I'm delighted. I'm delighted. I fucking hate postmen. I'm delighted. I'm glad that dogs have got their act together again and they've upped the ante on postmen. Delighted. Ever since the Germans bought most of the Royal Mail, I'm delighted now. That's it. Good for the dogs. Can't get Jazz to bite our postman, though. I've done everything. But she won't do it. I've even had mannequins made up and dressed them as postmen and thrown them at the dog. She just won't do it. So please tweet me with any tips or hints as to how I can get the dog to just rip the balls out of the postman. Yeah. Okay. That's the Times. You'd have thought the mannequin would have worked, wouldn't you? Dressing the mannequin up as Postman Pat and throwing it at Jazz. No. The Express. Boris, no deal. Brexit is nothing to fear. That's true, but you're not going to deliver it, you buffoon. You complete moron. Also on the front page is a nice picture of Vinnie Jones and his wife Tanya. Tanya died aged 53. I met Vinnie Jones some years ago. You know, I've never been a name dropper. In my commercial media days, I got to meet Vinny. I got to sit down with him. And he was a really nice fella. He was a very interesting guy. And he told some very self-deprecating stories, which was lovely. He was, you know, there was no arrogance or ego about him at all. He was telling stories about his days playing football for Wimbledon and for Leeds. And the stories were marvellous. And there were always stories about how he got upended or how he got embarrassed by better players. And I liked him. Thought he was a good guy, and he did well in Hollywood. He was in some very big films, and it seemed that he had a very close and loving relationship with his wife, who sadly passed away aged 53. And you and I, dear viewer, we've got opinions about cancer treatment, don't we? And you always wonder when you hear that anybody has died of cancer, no matter who it is, whether it's somebody well known or not, you often think to yourself, I wonder, did they try any of the holistic or the more natural remedies? Did they even give it a try, you know? You never know. But yeah, he was a nice fella, Vinny. The Guardian. Climate crisis disasters occurring weekly, says the United Nations. Told you last week. Look out, what is it? It's cloudy. It's climate change! What's it like today? It's quite sunny, actually. Climate change! We're all going to die. And we're not really. We're all going to still be here in 50 years. I won't be. 6 foot 6 inches tall. Little bit of a dicky ticker. I'll be lucky to see 70. That'll do me. 26 years from now. 44 now, 26. Yeah. That'll do me. That'll do me. Operations cancelled in standoff with consultants. What's this about? It's an important story. The Guardian claims that hospitals in England are cancelling operations because the consultants working in hospitals, the consultants, right, have begun working to rule. Why? Well, there's a big standoff between the NHS and consultants over pensions. And it's not going away, this dispute. It's getting toxic, and it's getting so toxic that doctors believe NHS services will go into meltdown. They're meant to. It's part of the plan. Wreck the NHS. Wreck it. Wreck it. And when people scream loudly enough about it, you say, we've got the solution. It's Virgin Care. Or some company like that, or some American company. Waiting times for treatment are wretched now. Senior doctors will not work more than their planned shifts over this pension row. Yeah. There you go. That's The Guardian. What's in the eye paper? Outcry over Labour threat to sue staff in gagging row. This is about anti-Semitism. Because Jeremy Corbyn hasn't got the cojones. Hasn't got the liorodi. Liorodi is the Irish language word for balls. Liorodi. To take it on. And to tell the Zionists in the UK to either move to Israel or shut the fuck up. That's all Jezza has to do. End of story. I'm not even going to talk about this because I talk about it too much. What's really going on with this anti-Semitism nonsense? In the Daily Mail, same thing. There are allegations that non-disclosure agreements signed by Labour staffers were wrong and were are being enforced now and are being pushed by Jeremy Corbyn's closest pals to prevent people blowing the whistle on anti-Semitism within Labour. And the BBC has got a panorama programme going out this week which will apparently be devastating for the Labour Party. This could have all been nipped in the bud, as I said, 2 years ago when it started. The Sun, dog enthroned. That's the pun. One of the parasites is going to adopt a dog for her baby. Lovely. And in the Mirror today, end school holidays rip off. This is a big problem for parents. Very big problem. The Daily Mirror has conducted its own investigation into school holidays and the price of them and how families struggle with them. And the Mirror found that the cost of a holiday during the August getaway time can go up by 80% or more compared with early July. Problem is, children are still in school in early July. So the Mirror says MPs have called for school holidays to be staggered to help alleviate the demand. But teaching unions are saying this would result in holiday firms charging higher prices anyway for a longer period of time, right? Of course they would. That's what they would do. It's what they would do. 23 minutes past. Then I'll go back to the to your comments in a minute. That's the Mirror. Did I do the Star? Summer is saved by four more sizzlers. That's a weather story. Yeah. So there you go. I'll go back to the comments then. I've got to scroll back, you see. Why don't they invent a button where I can just pause the comments? Fred Luce is a postman. How you doing, Fred? I would train Jazz to bite every postman in the bollocks. But you, Fred. Thanks, mate, for weighing in there. You'd have thought that throwing the mannequin dress as a postman would have done the job, right? She will not bite postman. Yeah. Nobody believes me about Germany. Yeah, when the Royal Mail was privatised, German companies bought up the majority stakeholding in it. Of course. I'm glad I'm amusing some of you. I'm not trying to amuse you. I'm just here reading the news. Hi to Oklahoma. How you doing, Oklahoma? Marvellous. Have I missed anybody? Hi to Free Palestine. Amen. Hi to Simon the Bomb. To Gabriel Swift. Lovely. Bruce Blunt says, Max Bygraves was shite. Kept on getting his words wrong. Was it Bob Monkhouse who first did it? I think you're right, actually. Maybe it wasn't Max Bygraves who presented Family Fortunes. Although I think he did. Didn't he? Bob Monkhouse definitely did it, didn't he? Bob Monkhouse, one of the greatest stand-up comedians in the history of comedy. Amazing guy. No One's Flower says, you're just a wee pup, Richie. That's another accent that I fucked up. That's supposed to be Scottish. Worst comic ever. Patrick, I mentioned Patrick. Look, I can't find out where these comments stopped. Private Fraser, how you doing, pal? Hi to XYZ. Hi to the Durnovarian. The Durnovarian. Liz McFall, how you doing, Liz? Jason Early. You're Jason Early. Hi to Brian O'Bruder from Wexico. Wexford, how you doing, Brian? Watching what did? Lovely. Cheryl Job is in South Africa. How you doing, Cheryl? Cheryl or Cheryl? Cheryl, right? First time she's caught this live. Brilliant. Liz came back to say Bob Monkhouse first presented Family Fortunes, then Max Bygraves took over. Marvellous. Good job. Right. What else is new? So if we leave the European Union, if we do, we won't. But if we do, we'll have to have new passports, won't we? I won't because I'm Irish. Do not adjust your television screens. This is my real accent. So as an Irishman, I'm stuck with my European Union passport. Years and years and years and years ago, when I first got my passport, it was a green one with a big harp on it, to be sure. Now it's a big European Union kind of red one, reddy orangey one, with a big harp on it, but it's a European Union one, right? I won't get a new one because I'm Irish. And there you go. But if we do leave and you're English, you'll get a new one. And it'll be blue. Guess where it'll be made, though? It'll be made in fucking Poland. So it's no wonder there's no jobs in this country for people, huh? Why would you get them printed in Poland? Why, in the name of suffering tarnation? Why, in the name of screaming Jesus, would you go to Poland to get the passports printed? Why would you not allow a British firm? Why would you not give the work to a British firm? No. Burgundy. Yeah, I said red or orange, didn't I? Burgundy red, the European Union passports. There they are, there. We'll have new ones in the UK, but they'll be made in Poland. In Poland. And the company making them in Poland will be owned by a French-Dutch company which won the bidding to print the documents. This is outrageous that the British government would put it out to tender and allow a fucking French-Dutch company do it. Why not put it out to tender in the UK and insist that a UK company gets the bid? Madness. Madness. The Guardian newspaper this morning is full of a story about how that, if only Jeremy Corbyn would embrace the centre ground. The centre ground. Labour would be a shoo-in at the next election. Do you want to see the centre ground? Those two Muppets. Stella Creasy. And Yvette Cooper. Two of the biggest fucking fishwives on planet Earth. Look at the state of them. That's the future of Labour. Look at them. Look. They want to make misogyny a hate crime. They want to make everything a hate crime. Those two. Lunatic, cultural Marxist progressives. Those two. That's what you're... That's what you've got. The country's crying out for an effective opposition, and yet Jeremy Corbyn cannot grasp the opportunity of the centre ground. Stella Creasy and Yvette Cooper. Do you know who these people are? I could be here for a half an hour talking about them. These dreadful, virtue-signalling, moronic, maniacal Muppets, the two of them. Everything is hate speech with the two of them. Everything. No matter what it is you say. Don't speak about anybody that isn't white. Anybody who's not white and gammon like me, you bally bastard, Richie. Anybody who's not white and middle-aged. Don't speak about them. Don't criticise them. Don't challenge them, because they'll be after you, the two of them. Not just them, but they're the public face of it. Creasy and Cooper. Dreadful. Awful. Disgusting individuals, the two of them. They're the guardians of the Twitterati thought police. Right? Horrible people. We'll leave them alone there. What else is in the news? Oh, huge story in the Telegraph about how 5G is brilliant. And I swear to you, I've only got two pages of it here, but it goes on forever. It's a really long story, right? I could have put four pages of it up. This is a story about 5G in the Telegraph, right? Do you think the story references the fact that in Belgium, in Switzerland, and in some parts of America, they have suspended 5G because of environmental concerns, because of concerns that 5G might be harmful to people? Of course, the Telegraph newspaper story has omitted all references to how deadly 5G might be, and the fact that other governments have said, hang on a second, let's not roll it out. That's dreadful. It is incumbent upon you. It is your moral duty as a journalist. If you write a story about 5G, you must point out that in other parts of the world, people are not very happy. They're not very keen on it. But no, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Thank God. You can download a film in a nanosecond. It's great, isn't it? Crazy, huh? Is there a growing far right threat online? A growing far right threat online, asks the BBC. We are entering. I know you'll think we've already been there a long time, yes, but we are entering it now at the speed of light, the age of censorship. If we ever change the paradigm, if we ever change our world for the better, we will look back in decades to come at this being the era of censorship and thought policing. Thought policing. There is a rush now to criminalise thoughts, feelings, opinions. Aren't we all entitled to be wrong? Goodness gracious, I am wrong all the time. But don't I have the right to be wrong? Don't I? To get it wrong? Don't I have the right to sometimes support the wrong direction or to endorse the wrong person? Aren't I entitled to be wrong? No, not anymore. We are increasingly seeing through the policing of social media how the establishment, how the system, how the elite is creating a corridor that's very narrow. And all of your opinion, all of your thought must exist within the narrow corridor. It must conform. Okay? Everybody must have the same opinion on everything, no matter what it is, whether it happens to be women's rights, whether it happens to be migration, whether it happens to be gender politics, whether it happens to be whatever. This is accepted. This is not. And that's what's happening here. And increasingly, and I've said this 1,000 times, haven't I, over the years, they will not have to censor. We will censor ourselves. and I go back again. I spoke to a gentleman in Buell Hill Park on Friday last, briefly. The chap didn't have a Scooby-Doo that I was a journalist. We were having a little chat and politics came up, and he had a conservative opinion. Working class lad, like myself, struggling, and he had what would be considered a conservative point of view. He'd be a supporter of Nigel Farage and getting out of the European Union, no deal and all of that. We're having a chat. And he was telling me he was going for a job. And I asked him, are you on social media? I am. It might be too late this time, I said, but you might want to consider deleting your tweets regularly, right? Maybe go back, delete everything up to 6 months ago, maybe, or delete it all full stop. And the guy was he was a bright kid. He was a bright kid, and he went, ah, yeah. He said, yeah, they'll expect me to be on social media, won't they? I said, of course they will. They'll go into your Facebook, they'll go into your... And I told him it had happened to me at LBC Radio. See, old LBC Radio headhunted your presenter. I told you the story on the radio. Back in 2012, they couldn't get enough of Richie Allen. He's referring to himself in the third person. He's turned into an arsehole. Turned into an arsehole? I've been an arsehole since I could walk. All right? All right. Headhunted me. The former head of The Guardian, running LBC, couldn't get enough of me. Put you on in the evening, Richie. Come and see us. Flew me into Luton Airport, put me up, had me driven to the studios in Leicester Square. But sometime between me landing in Luton Airport and arriving at the studio for my conversation, they found out that I was speaking regularly to people like David Icke and others. And all of a sudden, they couldn't get me out of there fast enough. And back to Luton Airport and back on a plane to effing Spain. Oh yeah! Social media. If you're going to go for a job, purge your social media account. Unless you are a virtue signaller who spends all your time talking about how there's nothing wrong with anything. Everything is just fine. Everything is hunky-dory. All you have to do. But if you've got opinions on anything that are not mainstream opinions, doesn't matter what the subject is, purge, purge, purge the bejesus out of your Twitter account. Lovely. Alexis Tsipras, one of the greatest liars of all time. You will remember, you know I say I get things wrong all the time. I was the only content creator in the world. When Alexis Tsipras swept to power and Syriza, his party, and Herman Munster, Yanis Varoufakis, and they promised they would deliver the Greek people from the bondage of the European Union, the Troika, and the bailouts. What did the big baldy Irishman say at the time? Well, I said, he's a Trojan horse. He is as establishment as David Cameron. Yeah. And he proved to be. He had a referendum and he told the Greek people, say no to the horrible terms of the bailout from the European Central Bank. The Greek people trusted him and said no. A couple of weeks later, he signed bailout terms that were even worse. How about them apples? Alexis Tsipras. And now he's been replaced by the New Democracy Party. But people never learn. The Greeks are just as stupid as the English. And just as stupid as the Irish. Because they think that one of the most powerful families in the country, one of the richest men in Greece, is going to deliver them from their prison and take them out of the European Union and end austerity? When, in the name of suffering Jesus, will people realise that populist candidates, particularly from public school backgrounds and immense fucking wealth, are not going to deliver you from the misery of the paradigm you exist in? When will they fucking learn? Right? Tired of it. I'm sick of it. I wake up to this morning. I didn't even watch it last night on the news. I couldn't be arsed. Wake up to it this morning. Ah, right, so he did win then. The Greeks said, we want change. We're going to put in one of the richest men in the country. Yeah. And the beat goes on. They'll never fucking learn. Bernie Sanders is the man. Jeremy Corbyn. No, they're not. Bernie Sanders is a very, very wealthy Jewish man with enormous amounts of money. He's a social democrat. He's not a socialist. He couldn't give a shit about anybody. Okay, Jeremy Corbyn is the same. They're all the same. They all play for the establishment, but you don't believe that because you're fucking thick. And you'll keep thinking, I can vote my way out of it, but you can't. It is exactly 19 minutes to 11. I'm going to love you and leave you. I'm going to love you and leave you. And I'll be back with you at 5. Hi to Colin Maguire in Dublin. Morning, Colin. How you doing, pal? Thanks for checking in with me. Thanks to Liz for donating. Thank you, Liz. Really appreciate that. Kevin Hansen winged in as well. Anonymous in Western Massachusetts. Thank you as well for your donation this morning. That means a lot to me. Right, if I missed anybody out, I don't think I missed many. I'm going to go now and do some work and catch up with you a little bit later on. The Richie Allen Radio Show will be live at 5 on the usual channels, richieallen.co.uk, triggerwarning.tv, but of course, importantly, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester at fabradiointernational.com. It's on TuneIn Radio as well, and the programme is archived at Podomatic at Spotify and at iTunes. That's it for me. You and I will talk again later on. Until then, bye.